Very Merry Mischief, A Pride and Prejudice Novella. Chapter 3. Caroline Bingley, standing near the buffet, surprised Darcy as he was accustomed to being the first to enter the breakfast parlor. He hoped to catch Miss Elizabeth before her morning walk, but instead his hope faded to dread. "Good morning, Mr. Darcy. I've made your coffee the way you like, black with a splash of cream." Caroline beamed at him, and Darcy prompted himself to walk forward, as his feet held an aversion his polite manners could not condone.
Thank you. How are you this morning, Miss Bingley?"
"I am well," she said, smoothing her skirts as Darcy helped her into her chair before helping himself to the buffet. "I know how much you abhor being late for services, so I took extra care for Millie to wake me early." She continued her smile and stifled a yawn with an inhalation of breath. Darcy snorted as he loaded his plate with cold meats and fresh fruit, including a wedge of pineapple. Despite the frozen fields outdoors, the hothouses of Pemberley still produced an amazing variety of fruits and vegetables.
"Yes, being on time is a sign of respect I appreciate."
He turned to see her, wondering who this creature might be. The selfish, spoiled sister of his friend he'd known low these many years was noticeably absent. As a rule, he could see right through Caroline's machinations, but it was difficult this morning. The young woman appeared to be attempting genuine kindness. The doors to the breakfast parlor opened again, and Elizabeth Bennet walked in with rosy cheeks, the only lasting evidence of her short jaunt in the snow. A few tresses had fallen from their pins, but the sight of her took Darcy's breath away. "Miss Elizabeth." He gallantly bowed and offered her a smile, one he did not give to Miss Bingley earlier, and the woman noted the difference straight away. Elizabeth curtsied, but remained silent. She started to fill her own plate, waiting most patiently by the pineapple until Darcy realized he was in her way and offered her a healthy portion of the tantalizing fruit. She gave a small nod of thanks, a smile playing on her lips that dazzled him as he made his way to his seat.
"Mr. Darcy, I made certain to tell dear Georgiana last night, but I must tell you how warm and lovely the decorations are this year, and the scent of evergreen."
Caroline took an exaggerated breath through her nose. "What a fresh reminder of the Lord's love and mercy for us all." Darcy choked on his bite of ham. He pounded his chest with his fist to clear the obstruction. He tried to clear it with a drink, but forgot the coffee was still too hot. So instead, he only succeeded in burning his mouth. "Mr. Darcy, Mr. Darcy," Caroline shouted, jumping from her seat, wringing her hands and wondering what to do. Without a word, Elizabeth placed a glass of milk on the table, which Darcy heartily seized. After a few more coughs, he was able to speak, though his eyes watered at their edges. "I apologize, ladies, for such a display."
"For choking? I hardly think we can find fault in your manners for not dying more quietly, can we, Miss Bingley?" Elizabeth asked, her voice cool.
"I don't want Mr. Darcy to die. I don't want him to die at all. I was most afraid for your safety, sir." Caroline gripped Darcy's hand at the table in earnest, which he politely shook away. Elizabeth bit her fork mid-bite to keep herself from laughing outright at Miss Bingley's ridiculousness.
"Thank you, Miss Bingley. I believe Miss Bennet was saying I was in the wrong for worrying about manners as I was choking."
"Of course you are not wrong. It couldn't be helped." Caroline's smug smile returned, thinking she had the last word, but Elizabeth shook her head. "Miss Bennet, I did not know you were fond of pineapple. Not many of my acquaintance have tasted it," Mr. Darcy said.
Elizabeth swallowed and waited a moment to respond.
Had Mr. Darcy reverted back to the pompous, prideful man she originally met? Elizabeth decided to test him. "My uncle, the one in trade, regularly has pineapple at his table. One might say his connections are most fruitful." Darcy smiled and inquired about the health of the gardeners. Elizabeth happily responded they were well and expecting another child, now more at ease that she had misjudged Mr. Darcy's intent.
Miss Bingley, however, did not care for their little tete-a-tete that excluded her input.
"Will today's services be in the Pemberley Chapel, or are we to go to church in Lambton? Looks as though it might snow again." Caroline motioned to the large windows at the early morning brightness, marred by the threat of gray clouds. Darcy glanced at the sky, but judged the threat minimal. "The clouds do not appear to be too dark. We only use the Pemberley Chapel for prayer and private services."
Clearing his throat, Darcy looked to Elizabeth, in the most meaningful way possible with Caroline Bingley in the room. I believe I have much to atone for this morning if the Lord should hear my pleas." The hidden message was not lost on Elizabeth, and she suddenly found her appetite fled her senses. Her mind and heart started spinning over what Mr. Darcy might mean, and the war was won by her mind. She still did not trust him, not yet. "Sometimes, Mr. Darcy, that which we do not do is best left undone. If you will excuse me, I shall go finish preparing for church." After Elizabeth left the breakfast parlor, she discovered Georgiana and Anne in the blue sitting room at the top of the stairs. All around them were goodies, packed food, fabric, and a number of baskets. Giddy with glee, Elizabeth brightened at the sight and begged to help them with the 10 baskets. Both ladies appeared relieved and managed to have the baskets finished before they needed to leave. Mrs. Reynolds swept into the room and began to tell Georgiana she would see to their delivery. "Oh, might we deliver the baskets ourselves? We always deliver them at home, but if the tradition is different, I don't mean to impose."
"Not at all, Miss Elizabeth. What a wonderful idea. I think we just never delivered them after my mother died, and—"
Mrs. Reynolds beamed at the young woman who had impressed her 2 summers ago with an impromptu visit to the home with her aunt and uncle. "Miss Bennet, I shall tell the cook to pack some warm food, heat the bricks, and tell Mr. Harris to ready a sleigh. All shall be ready when you return." Elizabeth curtsied to the housekeeper, a respect the old woman took straight to heart. She followed Georgiana and Anne back to the wing with their rooms to don her warmest cloak. Church services were highly entertaining for Elizabeth as she managed to sit between Georgiana and Anne. Darcy was stuck with Caroline Bingley next to him, and the poor woman kept bothering him to find the right page in her prayer book, the hymnal, and so on. Each time the congregation stood, Caroline waited for Mr. Darcy to stand first and reached up for him to give her a hand. The third such display made Elizabeth giggle, and she had to quickly bow her head as if in prayer to prevent anyone from seeing her mirth. The way home to Pemberley was not so enjoyable, as Mr. Darcy conspired and managed to manipulate riding back in the carriage with Anne, Elizabeth, and Georgiana, leaving Miss Bingley to ride with the Bingleys. Anne and Georgiana had taken one bench seat, so Elizabeth was stuck trying to look out the window and ignore the incessant tingling her leg felt every time it was knocked into Mr. Darcy's. With a sigh, she cursed her traitorous heart and tried to remind herself that if he had loved her, he would have come back.
"How do you like Pemberley in winter, since you have also seen it at its best in summer?" Mr. Darcy asked Elizabeth.
"I find the contrast lovely. In summer, all is green and in bloom, and in winter, the frosted, barren trees look to me as so full of potential that I enjoy their rest, for I know what is to come."
"We must find a way for you to see the property in spring and autumn, Miss Bennet," Mr. Darcy said softly.
Elizabeth whipped her head around, away from the window, to stare at him intently. Her anger still flashed in her eyes, and Darcy knew that look to mean she had not forgiven him, not that she was flirting with him, as he had mistaken before. "To round out your observations, of course," he added lamely. Elizabeth gave a slight nod, then turned back to the window. They rode the rest of the short distance in silence until the carriage came to a stop with a sudden lurch. Mr. Darcy grabbed Elizabeth in his arms to protect her as they both were thrown forward towards Anne and Georgiana. The other two ladies began chattering, wondering what had happened, while Elizabeth looked up at Mr. Darcy with eyes full of gratitude. Forgetting in his warm embrace, she had her heart set on hating the man.
"William," Georgiana's piercing tone broke the spell, and Darcy quickly helped Elizabeth back to her own seat as he released her.
"Stay here, ladies, I shall inquire." He lighted from the carriage, and Elizabeth remained inside for a moment before leaning out to see the disturbance for herself. In front of them, the Bingley carriage had a broken wheel, and the driver was doing his best to calm the horses by pulling on the reins and crying, "Whoa!" She spied Mr. Darcy walking straight up to the animals to calm the front two of the team. Not wasting more than a moment to relish his bravery, Elizabeth hopped down from her own carriage and scurried to the door of the broken one, leaning to one side. She reached up and jumped to grab the door handle of the side now higher up from the tilt.
"Oh, Mr. Darcy, Mr. Darcy, thank you for rescuing us." Caroline Bingley's voice was the first to yell out, though one would expect the pregnant Jane to be more upset.
Elizabeth poked her head in with a lopsided grin and apologized that Mr. Darcy was keeping the horses calm. She reached out a hand to Caroline, who wouldn't accept it, so instead she reached for Bingley to grab her hand and leave the carriage. Freeing Bingley to help Jane and Caroline climb down, she took a deep breath and decided her bravery could match Mr. Darcy's, even though horses were not her favorite mode of transportation. "They've exited the carriage, Mr. Darcy."
"Elizabeth, what are you doing out here? You should have stayed in the other carriage."
He moved to shrug off his coat, but her hand stayed him.
"You had your hands full, and if the horses should trample you to death,
they need not do so with my two sisters and brother inside," she said tartly, hoping he would hear her tease. Instead, he looked at her and blinked, shaking his head. Worried she was misunderstood, she began to feel anxious, which the horses sensed, causing them to stomp and show fresh signs of uneasiness.
"Forgive me, William. I was cruel to jest. You were very brave, but I believe I'm unsettling the horses. The ladies and I will take the other carriage and send help," she said softly, backing away.
Mr. Darcy nodded at the small woman he so desperately wished was his own, had called him by his first name. "Whoa, whoa," he patted the muzzle of the horse he knew named Rembrandt. He waved as the other carriage carefully maneuvered around the broken one, as Bingley joined him. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit," Bingley offered, clapping Darcy on the shoulder.
"Bingley, Elizabeth and I were in the other carriage."
Bingley laughed and walked around to the broken carriage door to fish out a lap blanket. It would be some time before help arrived, and while his stoic friend would freeze, he saw no point to it. When the carriage crammed with five ladies arrived, Mrs. Reynolds fretted over the late return, then immediately went to Elizabeth for directions, as it was clear there was a dire reason the house party was late. Without thinking about Georgiana, or Anne's rightful place to issue edicts, Elizabeth gave clear instructions to Mrs. Reynolds about help for the men. She turned to Anne and Georgiana to say she wished to change into a less auspicious dress for their visits to the tenants. "Should we still go? What about William and Mr. Bingley?" Georgiana fretted, looking at the main door as the ladies were ushered inside. "Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley will be well, I am certain. The tenants rely on generosity to get them through the harsh winter months. I don't think we would be remiss to continue with our plans. Miss Bingley, would you care to join us in handing out holiday baskets?" Caroline shook her head as Jane had announced she needed to rest. "After my ordeal, I am quite uncertain when I shall feel well again. For the carriage wheel to break, why, I thought we were all to be gravely injured." "Yet you were not gravely injured," was all Elizabeth could think, but kept her thoughts to herself as she dismissed herself to her room. Her hem was 3 inches wet from the snow, and her ankles were beginning to feel chilled. As the three ladies of Pemberley nestled into their sleigh, they spied the broken carriage arriving with a new wheel. It would be tough, but there was enough light for them to visit most of the tenants if they hurried, at least the ones on the manor house lands. The estate at large would have to wait for Christmas Eve, but Georgiana said that was the tradition. Anne Fitzwilliam took the reins of the sleigh, with a practiced hand from years of driving her gig. Realization dawned on Elizabeth that for being so sickly at Rosings, Anne did not appear sick at Pemberley. And reflecting on how the grand lady acted outside of the house, Elizabeth giggled at the signs that were there, if she had only bothered to see.
"What amuses you so, Miss Bennet?
First, can we dispense with these formalities? I respect both of you a great deal, and wish nothing more than for you to call me Elizabeth." Sharing grins all around, Elizabeth divulged her secret. "It occurred to me that with your hand with horses, I wonder if you and the Colonel were not close cousins long before my visit to Kent." Anne sniffed but couldn't contain a knowing smile, confessing all and nothing at the same time. With a slight jerk of the reins, the sleigh picked up speed, and Elizabeth found herself closing her eyes tight and grabbing Georgiana.
"Elizabeth is not fond of fast rides," Georgiana warned, causing Anne to apologize and slow the ponies. Gingerly, Elizabeth opened her eyes at the more modest pace and shook her head. "I cannot help my fear, I'm afraid. I hate it so, but ever since I was a little lass, I have worried dreadfully when going fast."
"Were you injured?" Anne asked politely. Again, Elizabeth shook her head. "No, Father said I witnessed the aftermath of a carriage accident, the twisted metal and shattered wood on the side of the road, the first time he took me to London. After that, apparently, I always begged the driver to slow down, though I don't recall the memory myself." Georgiana solemnly nodded and whispered to Elizabeth that she was frightened of snails. Elizabeth couldn't help laughing,
and Georgiana laughed as well, explaining she had a similar unrecalled memory. She was told she fell and bruised her knee as a child in the garden, and the sight of a snail at the time caused her to hate the animals ever since.
I wonder if these things actually happened to us, or if the truth was made tidy, Elizabeth reflected, realizing she had never thought to question her father's account before now.
It is possible. My mother revised history as it suited her needs, Anne said with a small frown.
Their conversation stifled as the first cottage, with a puff of smoke coming from the chimney, came into view.
Elizabeth and Georgiana took turns carrying the baskets, and the joy the ladies saw on the face of the female head of the house made the frozen conditions all worth it. The sun was just beginning to set as the sleigh neared the stables. All three women were shivering, as the warming bricks had long since cooled, and the blankets could only keep out so much, with the temperature dropping as darkness fell. Elizabeth could not wait to warm herself inside once they approached the stable, but she noticed Anne hastily threw the reins to the groom and made a mad dash for the back doors of the drawing room, the closest entry to the house. But a path was not yet cleared through the snow. Anne trampled through half a foot of snow in a frantic dash, and Elizabeth asked Georgiana what had caused such a reaction from their friend.
"That's Richard's horse," Georgiana pointed to the dark stallion being patted down by the grooms.
"Oh," Elizabeth said, looking on as Anne reached the doors and the colonel stepped out of them. Without a hesitation, Richard Fitzwilliam lifted his wife and kissed her soundly as the momentum of her leap spun them around. Georgiana giggled and looked away, but Elizabeth was fixed on the couple, as their hands rushed to cup one another's faces and their words of love could be heard in tone, though not direct message. All Elizabeth could think as she stood rooted at that spot, witnessing a Christmas miracle, was how much she wished to be as dearly loved.